So, school boards with hindsight and looking at that, it kept circling around in my mind to sort of negative things. So we're going to focus a little more on problem solving, things that like unintended consequences for of decisions that we make and stuff like that. So you can imagine this school board. They live busy lives doing work, and they quickly get off work and rush to the school board meeting and adjust their mind to the school board meeting and problems at the school and things at the school, and then they have to make some big consequential decisions on the spot. And how do they know they're making the right one? Sometimes it seems pretty arbitrary. You push for a consensus, but you know, it can feel kind of arbitrary. And then there's consequences to those decisions. So I wanted to start out by sweetening you guys up a little bit. There may not be one for everyone, but you have a decision to make here. You can take one from either box, or you can refuse. So eat your cookie. Just take a nice big bite and eat your cookie. No, eat it.
I think there's sand in mine.
You have to eat the whole cookie because you chose it. You have to live with the consequences of your decision. Nice and high. I want to see how many. Okay, so you made a decision randomly. You didn't know what the outcome was going to be. You knew you, in theory, had to make a decision, but then you have to live with the consequences. And now, hopefully, no one has chipped teeth, but you're living with the consequences of that decision. Then you tried to make the right decision, right? You were more or less careful. It was kind of a quick decision, but you were, and you got a cookie with sand. But some of you, the exact same process of decision making, got it right, and it was a good cookie. Now how can we predict Or how can we give ourselves the best odds of making that right decision? But when you do it the second time, what are you going to do? That's where we need to get to. So yeah, I'd really like this. There's going to be open discussion here, so please feel free. So, I was going to go through a little bit of a problem-solving technique. So now, the school board or it can be more than school board, I guess in business or anything, but in school board you have a real problem that you're dealing with. And it's causing stress and maybe tension between people. So what techniques could we use to figure out that problem? So the first one is we need to identify that there is a problem and what that problem is. So for example, if you're driving your car and you call me and say, I have a problem. I know you're driving your car. Maybe I know you're on a long distance trip and you call me and say, I have a problem. Well, that could be so many things, right? If I know you're driving, that maybe your car broke down, right? You locked your keys inside. Maybe you ran out of gas. Or ran out of cash, so you can't buy gas to get wherever you're going. Which is not an actual problem with the car, right? It's a problem with financial management or just access to resources. Maybe you were supposed to be there yesterday, but you just took so many bunny trails and saw so many sights that you're a whole day late and you have a problem. Or maybe you have a backseat driver that's driving you crazy. It's a problem. But all I know is that you called me and said, I have a problem, right? So first we have to identify what that is. And see, some of those problems are short-term problems. Like if you're just out of cash, you could conceivably get a sign and go drum up some cash at the street corner to get yourself. It's a short-term problem, hopefully, if you're out of cash. No. But if it's a long-term problem, maybe your engine went out. And for that car, that engine in particular, it's probably a long-term issue. Even if you get it rebuilt, it's not as good as new. So then, or maybe you have a whole list of problems with your car, and we have to go through and identify the most critical ones right up front. All right. So then you'll have to go through and identify what is the most pressing priority with your car right now. Is it getting gas? Is it getting some cash? So what you would want to do at that point is you would want to identify. So you have a problem, and you would want to identify the things that will get you the best results the quickest. So if you're out of gas, the best results the quickest would be to somehow get some gas, right? Then you would solve your problem. But if your engine went out, maybe the best results the quickest would be to go rent a car. So identify your priorities. And then once you have your priorities identified, try to identify the alternative solutions. So if you're out of gas or you're out of cash, what different ways could you get some cash? So this is just methods of problem solving. So you have this problem you're trying to. And one way to do that is you get a whole, in the case of a school board, if you get a whole group of people and you just have everybody give ideas, maybe everybody give, you go around the circle maybe five times, everybody gives an idea on how to fix the problem. So you got all these alternative solutions on the table that you can choose from. then you actually have to decide your solution. Solution to your problem. And in like in the case of a school, you have so many factors to if you have a problem with a student, you have the student, you have the parents probably to deal with, you have the teacher to deal with, you have the other students in the class to factor in. And so you have all of these things that you have to take into account when you're making your decision on what is the best solution. You have to think about, you know, what could go wrong or what's the unintended consequence of this decision. And then once you've made your decision, like the cookie that you got, you can go back and check, well, how good of a decision was that? You can circle back around and say, well, was that decision that we made an effective one, or shall we bail out of it and go back and realize we made a mistake and go try again. Repent, like Gene said. So I want to do a little bit of a cause and effect analysis on a problem. And this is from the standpoint of a school board or anyone that has made a decision that has turned out bad. Now what? Okay, so here you are. You have this problem. You made your decision in good faith. You did your best. Okay, so what we'll start with is we have up here, and just to illustrate, we have a ship that is sinking. A ship that is sinking. It's this ocean liner that's out in the middle of the North Atlantic or somewhere. And it's sinking. That represents the result of our decision. It's sinking. And I'm sure we all can relate with decisions we've made in life that resulted in a sinking ship. But we're trying to be clear-eyed and figure out what to do now. So, let's try to identify some high-level problems that would result in a ship sinking. What could happen to a ship? And what I want is not the small thing that happened that caused the big thing to happen that made the sink ship. I'm saying the big thing that happened. What is the overarching... And I'll give you an example of one, of what I mean. So here we have a hole in the ship. I'm not talking about what made the hole right now, but we have a hole in the ship and it's causing it to sink. What other things could happen that would cause a ship to sink? Or what? Yeah, on a ship. The ship is sinking as a result of this.
Storm.
Okay. Okay, storm. Storm is too far out. We'll get there.
The material that it's made, maybe it's a weak material.
Okay.
Maybe it's a bad or... That wasn't built right or whatever.
Okay.
Or
so
not put together right, and a weak point in there.
Okay. All right. So that would be like a structural damage or something. Structural weakness. Maybe? Should I say that? Is that actually a weakness? Or is it an A?
An A.
Alright, think of more.
Human error.
Human error, but that's too far out. Okay, that's more of a root cause. We're trying to stay away from the root causes yet.
So I'll revisit the storm. Multiple waves going over the ship.
Okay. So the way the ship is floundering or capsizing, maybe?
The waves are just too big for it.
Okay.
It's filling it.
Okay, so, all right, so it's flounder, isn't it? Don't they call that flounder?
You probably don't.
I'll just write capsizing for that one. If I think I will. I'm scared of you guys, so I have to check my spelling. Okay, the ship's capsized. Okay.
Anything else? What could happen inside the ship, maybe? To the stuff that it's hauling, or... Okay, but overweight, okay. I'm going to say that's a root cause, more of a root cause.
Load shifting, maybe?
Okay, load shifting, that's a good one. Okay. Okay, so the load shifted, and the boat got too heavy in the back, and now it's sinking. All right. So we've got some possible high level reasons why it's sinking. Okay. So let's dig down a little bit on the first one. It has a hole in the hull. What's some possible reasons why this ship would have a hole in the hull?
Hit a rock.
Okay. So it had a collision with a rock. Anything else on what would have made a hole in this ship?
An attack.
Okay, with a terrorist attack?
Yeah.
Sabotage of some sort? Call it sabotage. Okay. Any other reasons why there might be a hole in this ship?
Well, it could go back to that structural weakness problem too.
Yeah. Okay. So this one could also be over here. Just wasn't built right. Okay. Any other next level down, why?
You could have had an engine explosion.
Okay.
It's a little different than collision or something.
Okay, so mechanical failure maybe? We're gonna need a much bigger whiteboard, but hey.
Or chemical, like something leaked out, a chemical that ate up the material. That could happen.
Okay, that's good. Let's go on. What would cause a load to shift?
Rough sea.
Okay. Rough sea.
Straps breaking.
Okay. Broken straps. All right, let's go to the next one. What would be a reason this ship possibly capsized?
It's rough sea again.
Yeah, maybe bad weather. Okay, bad weather.
Poor design.
Okay. What about what would have caused structural weakness in the ship? That would have resulted in the ship sinking.
Shoddy workmanship.
Okay. Poor workmanship. Poor workmanship, no pun intended.
Engineering failure.
Okay, excuse my shorthand. All right, okay, so we've identified next level down possible reasons why the ship is sinking. Okay, so let's try again. Let's dig down another reason, because poor workmanship isn't very conclusive. You're just going to say that? How are you going to prove that? How do you know that? Or can you just blame it on poor workmanship? If blaming it on poor workmanship, do you have the tools to make better decisions on why the ship is sinking? Or do you need more details? So let's try one more level down. So, why would a ship have a collision that caused a hole that caused the ship?
Poor navigation.
So poor navigation, alright.
Captain fell asleep.
Okay, sleeping captain.
Not following instructions, maybe?
Okay. Summarize that for me.
Disobedient.
Okay, disobedient. Alright, let's go to the next one. What could have caused sabotage, or what? What could have caused sabotage? For inter-country relations?
So, collision and the sabotage both could have been from neighboring ships.
Okay. Other ships. Shouldn't let your friends so close by. Alright?
I'm not sure if we're going quite this deep, but greed.
Greed? Okay. On the, which one?
The sabotage. So that,
oh, okay.
That would be other countries
greed,
attacking.
Or even hate, right?
Okay.
There we go. Greed or hate cause people to make reactions that cause they made poor decisions to sabotage a ship or got a hole in it and attacked. Okay. What about mechanical failure?
No maintenance.
I kind of forget, when is this class supposed to end? Does anybody know?
11:50.
Okay. Hey, you get the point. You get the point. You can keep going down, and probably, you know, when you actually do this, you can. Maybe it didn't capsize, so this whole stream you can cross off. You don't have to. Maybe all it had was a hole in it, so we don't even have to worry about all of these. All we have to do is keep chasing the one that, until we can identify the root cause of the problem. So, like, maybe the root cause of the capsize stream was just plain bad weather. Everything else was perfect, but a surprise storm hit you. And so you can all go all the way down and say that, you know, the reason this bad thing happened is because of the storm. Well, on that one, maybe it all gets all the way down to the captain fell asleep because he was up too late the night before. So you can finally get down to where you identify the problem. Then once you've identified the problem, now you can start building it back the other direction. Okay, so I'm going to give you a scenario, and then we're going to try to auger down and find a solution for it. So there was, and this is some element of truth in it. Somehow it's a truth story, partially a truth story. So there was, in about maybe 2009, there in late March, a school board faced a problem of a first grader that was pulling about 88%. And his experienced teacher said that he probably should be failed. But 88, according to the grade scale, is a passing grade. But the just her instincts were saying, you know, this child, though that grade is deceiving you, he probably should be failed. But when she said that, this child's mother raised an alarm and said, hey, look at his report card. You have no right to fail this child. Obviously, he's doing okay. He's pulling an 88. That's not an F. At the same time, there's a fourth grader in the same school with a reading issue. And he's pulling a low D's, D minus average, with several F's. And according to the strict laws of the constitution of the school, he should be failed. But he's got a reading problem, and so nobody's really comfortable failing this student based on those F's, because maybe he's excelling in math, but reading, he's tallied up the right number of F's to be failed. Okay, so now this school board is faced with these F's, and the proposal of failing this boy has caused quite a bit of tension between the parent who feels like the teacher's not doing her job right. She's this 19-year-old single girl with not a lot of experience. She's not doing her job right. That's why her child has F's, and so the school board has this dilemma on their hands. You get it? This is a thing. And so they face this problem, and so the solution we're going after right now is the grading scale. It seems to be giving us false information, right? It's telling you that the first grader should not be failed when the teacher feels like he should be. But it's also telling you that this other boy should be failed when basically he has a reading problem and he's not a failing student. So, you get the situation. Now, let's fast forward. Okay, so then the school board sits together and they say, well, what we need to do is we need to revamp our grading scale. We'll make first and second grade grading scale much, much tougher so that an 88 is an F, and that will identify these students early, and then we can know there's a problem and maybe right away try to help them. And then the middle grades, we'll make it a little more tough, but not as tough as first grade, so we'll slack off. And then the high school or the bigger rooms will just have the normal grading scale. But we don't quite believe there is such a thing as dyslexia, so at this point we're not going to help this child that has a reading problem, because back in the good old days, people just went to school, right? So, 2011, 2 years later, a student that is an average student in about fourth grade gets an F. Because the grading scale has her, and she had never had an F before, and her mother was outraged that she brought home an F, all because of this grading scale that the school board had, in all good faith, created to help identify a problem. But the neat thing was the students with problems started to easily be identified. Like, they started showing up with F's and low D's, and you know, people started to see it right away that these students who struggled were. All right, so now here's the unintended consequence. Fast forward all the way 10 years of using this new grading scale. You have a student in about fourth grade, similar to the one that we started with reading struggles, and he's pulling an F, enough F's that he should be failed. But in everything else, he's averaging, you know, if you'd give him the normal grading scale, he'd be averaging a C across the board. But these F's are extreme demotivation to this student. He feels like he's not succeeding because of these F's he's taken home, which are artificial F's because you've made it tough for them. Okay. So the unintended consequence is the student that's struggling. Okay. So,
if you
had that problem. What would you do? Just reverse the grading scale and go back to how you started? So, no, what's your options as a thoughtful school board? Looking back at your decisions, you have a boy that's struggling. Mainly with, you know, self-esteem and keeping up, you know, with his, how he appears to his peers and whether or not he's a success. So let's identify the first level of high-level problems that you saw in that scenario.
Reading struggles. Reading disability.
Reading issues. Okay.
That's on the report cards.
Okay. I think that's a level down, maybe. Is it? I'm open to putting it up there, but that seems like a symptom.
So would
how about offended parents? That seemed like one in there. Offended parents. We don't have to catch them all, just a few, because we don't have time to do it. Okay. Till 11.
Maybe the school board is not being reasonable.
Okay.
Or maybe he's
inflexible with that.
Or
letter of the law?
Maybe.
I'll write what you want me to write. One size fits all? I'm not sure what.
I don't know. Somebody else has a better lettering.
I'll just write letter of the law. If you're, you know, and what I mean by that is you. The student has 5 F's, so he's going to fail. You're going to do that because of the letter of the law of the Constitution. Okay.
Relationship struggles on the board.
Okay. Board relations. Okay. Let's go with those. Remember, the decisions you made were real decisions based off of real issues that you were trying to solve earlier. And you were not intending to hurt this child with this unintended consequence later. Okay, so, well, let's dig a little deeper on reading issues. Why would your school have reading issues that are causing struggles? Okay. Okay.
Maybe the teacher's overworked and can't have enough time for anyone that struggles a bit.
Overworked teachers. Okay.
Parents may not understand the importance of them reading at home as well.
Okay.
Working on it from home well.
Okay.
It's a lack of practice. That's more that we, yeah.
Parents not emphasizing reading, maybe? I'm gonna write denial. That there is, well, no, I'm not.
auger down on this one again. What would be a more root type cause that your school would have? Dyslexia or unidentified dyslexia or. Well, yeah, reading issues because you have dyslexia. Don't have to be unidentified, but we're looking for root causes. That's where I wanted to write the denial. Denial that there is such a thing as dyslexia. Could be a root cause that you haven't identified the dyslexia in the child with the reading issues, right? What's the root cause of overworked teachers?
Too many students.
Number of students. Lack of money, lack of funds. So you are trying to put lots of students in one teacher's room because you can't afford to pay as many as you need.
Everybody's expectations, including the teachers.
Okay, on this one?
Yeah, expectations.
Okay. Okay. What would be a root cause of parents not emphasizing reading?
They're not reading themselves.
Not reading themselves?
The school job.
Reading, school job, okay. Any more on dyslexia? What's a root cause?
This isn't a cause, but we're not going to cope well with needs like that if we have a one size fits all approach to students.
Yeah. All right, let's go over here to the letter of the law. If that's a high level issue. I think you could probably write the one size fits all under that same one. You're attempting to have a one size fits all rule that, or procedure that fixes it for everyone.
The school board may have acted beyond their understanding. There may have actually, it's conceivable will be that there was overreach there, or overextension.
Okay. All right. Overreach on the part of the school board. Okay.
In their defense, maybe they were aiming at consistency.
What would be a root cause of overreach in the school board?
Ignorance.
Okay. Ignorance. Okay. Any others? Maybe the classic power trip? I don't know. It's his turn to be chairman, so we're going to do it. I mean, I'm not saying in my... What's the root cause of ignorance? Lack of experience? You could keep digging down. What about board relations? What's the root cause?
Pride.
Partiality.
Yeah. powerful. What's the root cause of pride? Sin, maybe?
Adam?
Eve. Oh no, we gotta blame it on ourselves. My bad. Opinion? What's the root cause of opinion? Pride? Me? No. Okay, let's go here to offended. What's the root cause of offended parents?
Being partial.
Okay.
We think our child's been doing you wrong.
Okay. They're being partial to their child. Okay.
Could denial go under that one as well?
Okay. Denial. Yeah. Maybe just church culture. I don't know. Maybe it's not going well there, I guess. What's the root cause of being partial?
Pride.
Selfish.
Pride? Selfish? Alright. Stupid. Okay, root cause of denial. Maybe that's ignorance there. Self-perception. Maybe it's just plain a self-perception issue. They don't actually see themselves how they're being. They believe they're doing their very best, but self-perception is just wrong. Church culture, that one could get pretty good, right? Okay. Now, we have to fix this problem. So let's identify some action items that we could do if we were going to start over. We need this boy to succeed.
We need to start him to move ahead. We need to have a vision for him.
Okay. We need a vision. Okay? But I think it's fair to say this school board had a vision. But yeah, and they want him to succeed, but you're right.
Somewhere in there, just accepting responsibility for where that boy is at.
Yeah. So just again. Okay, accept responsibility.
That would be multiple parties there.
Yeah. But what's some action item? What's something we could do today to start correcting this problem?
Special ed needs.
Alright, let's go over to the dyslexia. We could go over here and we could test for dyslexia. Maybe your grading scale has been great the whole time. But we should just test that one boy for dyslexia. Or test your whole school. I don't know. Okay. Work on some board relations. Except we really haven't identified that necessarily was the board the problem. They were doing their best, right? Possibly.
The board relations is part of what's sinking this ship.
Okay.
And if that doesn't get fixed, even if the other does, that may still sink the ship.
So put the board in a room for a couple of days to work on relations.
Maybe we should try to lighten the teacher's load, get a tutor or something.
Okay.
So she can work with the reading and reading.
Okay. Special ed teacher of some sort. Yeah. Pretty soon you can have a school of 30 students with 30 special ed teachers. You know, that's just. Yeah. So I hope that in that type of
Now, can you actually imagine your school board sitting down and in the case of a problem where they actually would be willing to dissect it down to figure out what actually wrong? It is a tool that could be used, especially in extreme cases. Yeah. What it really does is it helps to get all the facts on the table. Because what you could do is you could just get rid of the gradings. The boy would no longer have F's. He would no longer have self-esteem issues, right? But he still wouldn't know how to read. So you can do a quick fix to the solution, but it's not the actual solution. Because it seemed like the school board at the very start, when they changed that grading scale, were responding to real issues that they were attempting to fix, which they maybe should have tested for dyslexia at the start. Yeah. Anyone have anything else on that? Some discussion.
Was it the same school board that made that initial decision? What was the difference between how you cycle through here on a 3-year term and sometimes you deal with it? I mean, it's easy to look back and criticize what the preceding boards did.
Yeah. Very likely they made the best decision they could at the time, or at least thought they did.
Wouldn't it be a huge help to somehow get those parents on board?
Yeah. School culture there seemed to be part of the issue also.